Good morning. What a joy to be with you in the house of the Lord today. And I trust that your response when you realized it was Sunday. How many of you, one of the first things you did when you woke up today, you remembered it was Sunday? Good thing. And I trust that you said, wow, today's the day that I get to go be with God's family, at least the part that meets the Pathway Church. And what a delight it is to be able to share this day with you. Thanks for praying for Pastor Kidd and their family there in Minerva. Thinking of him and their son, I was just sitting there as we were praying, reflecting on God's goodness in giving us three sons, three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not quite. Nathan, Justin, and Christian. And this morning, presumably before dawn, Christian and his three sea bags, loaded with his battalion, the 2-6 Ready Battalion of the United States Marines, boarded a plane, and they're on their way to California. Get there for about 7 weeks of pre-deployment training, and then off this summer to represent our nation in the interest of peace in Asia. At this point, they're talking Japan and South Korea. Christian is the same boy that when he was about 6, he came home from school one day, and he said, "Mom, if Dad goes to heaven, can we get a dog?" You know, the longer I get from that experience, I feel better about it. Because what that means is that we had conveyed to him, even at that early age, that going to heaven was a good thing. And that if Dad was out of the house, he could get a dog. I don't know about you, but when I think about missions and what God's doing around the world, I oftentimes think, aren't we done with this yet? You're kind of the kid who grew up in a pastor's home, and we have missionaries come to our church, and then they would come over to the house for dinner. And so I grew up eating roast beef and hearing stories of African elephants and Indian tigers and the amazing things that were happening through Teen Challenge in cities like Philadelphia and New York City, and that's been 50 so years ago now. And we've been at it since then. The Sons of God as a movement has been investing in missions since our beginning. In fact, back in 1914, at our second ever meeting, the General Council convened in Chicago, Illinois. It's recorded in the minutes of that meeting. We commit ourselves and this movement to the greatest evangelization the world has ever known. And so for 99 years, we have been working at that goal, announcing the good news about Jesus all around the world. And we're still doing it. In fact, today, the Assemblies of God is represented by missionaries and ministries in 253 nations of the world. Territories, nations and territories. That's more than there are represented in the United Nations. We have people secretly and covertly in places where you can't legally be a missionary. Missionaries who are sitting in houses and their Bible studies are interrupted by government police. Missionaries who lived in countries of the world where it finally got so dangerous that at the martyrdom of another American missionary, they finally were told, "You better get out of the country now." Missionaries who are seeing God breathe revival into churches that they have planted and pastors. A missionary in the Tonga Islands who in the last couple of years has seen dozens and dozens of people come to faith in Christ, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and hospital visitation teams out of their church going to the local hospital, witnessing for Christ, seeing people saved. And to this point, there are 7 that have gotten up out of their hospital bed healed by the power of God, the Holy Spirit visited to them through the prayers of somebody whose life was powerfully changed as a result of a missionary ministry. So it's happening all around the world today. And the first thing I want to do of note this morning is just to say thank you, Pathway Church. Thank you for being a partner with us in reaching the world, in reaching Columbus, and extending across Ohio to our missionary personnel. In fact, last year you folks invested over $24,000, nearly $25,000 in taking the good news of Jesus from Columbus to the ends of the earth. And I want to say thank you. Because what you're doing is making an amazing difference. Someone's God has nearly 5,000 missionaries or missions personnel in America and around the world. And as a result now of our efforts to inspire and encourage and see missionaries raised up in countries where we have disciple leaders, there are another 5,000 plus being sent out from nations like Argentina and Brazil and South Korea, other parts of the globe. So our missionary family for the Assemblies of God numbers over 10,000, extending into places of the world that need Jesus. We've been doing missions a long time, but the job isn't yet done. I brought with me today a little visual aid. How many of you like to stop at Starbucks from time to time? All right. We had our obligatory Sunday morning stop today. Renee said, do we have time to stop for my hot chocolate? But I brought with me today 7 empty Starbucks cups. The number 7 is significant. The Arabian Peninsula is a peninsula that's comprised of 7 different countries, all of them considered unreached by missiologists, all of them without a sufficient number of people of national origin to be able to evangelize their country. I sat with Dan and Angela McHugh about a year ago, and they were getting ready to leave for Oman. He said, Jim, I'm going to share with you something that I hope you never forget. He said, according to the most recent statistics and research, we've been told that there are more Starbucks restaurants in the capital city of Oman than there are known Omani Christians. I said, how many Starbucks restaurants, Dan? He said, there are 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, there are other Christians in that country. I'm sure there's many more Christian missionaries undercover than 7. Not that many known Omani. I'm thrilled that one of the points of your mission or purpose statement is go. Because there was one thing on the mind of Jesus after he raised from the dead. You know what it was? We call it the Great Commission. I like to call it the Great Co-mission. Jesus said, and it's recorded by Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Matthew records the words of Jesus this way. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you even until the end of the age. So I like to call this the Great Commission. Jesus' promise of persistent, personal, daily presence is in the context of fulfilling his commission of making disciples to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age. Luke records it this way, that the gospel, the good news of repentance and forgiveness or remission of sins will be preached from Jerusalem to all nations. And then he said, be sure that you don't leave Jerusalem, disciples, until you are filled with power. Even John records what I would include as one version of the Great Commission. It was after the resurrection of Jesus. He came into the house where they were gathered. The Bible says they were afraid for their lives because of the Jews. And Jesus came into that room and he said to them, peace. And then he said to them, as the Father has sent me, I. God's still doing that today. You're seated in this room today, so I'm assuming that God's not called you to be a missionary to go somewhere to preach the good news. He's not called you to be a missionary in Columbus. He's not called you to be a missionary up in northern Ohio. He's not called you to be a missionary to the Native American Indians out in Arizona. He's not called you to be a missionary to work in teen challenge centers. He's not called you to be a missionary to the university campus. I'm assuming he's not called you to be a missionary to Albania or Algeria. He's not called to be a missionary to Burundi or even the Bermuda. I'm assuming that since you're here today, except for Guy and Kathy, that he's not called you to go somewhere else. So how is it that you can get rightfully, dutifully, integrally connected to the Great Commission? I think most of you know that we should pray for our missionaries, and I hope that you do. But secondly, you and I are called to get connected to the Great Commission by supporting those that the Spirit is sending as missionaries to different places of the world. This year's theme for missions is Beyond So All Can Hear. There are unsaved people in America that still need to hear about Jesus in areas and cultures that are marginalized and separated from the main of society. And there are unreached parts of the world that have still yet to hear. Oman is one great example of that. Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul brings us to a very promising reality regarding salvation. Maybe you memorized this when you memorized the Romans Road if you've been a Christian for a while. I think I memorized a couple of these verses when I was a kid in Bible quizzing. By the way, congratulations to the team from Pathway, huh? How about that? But the Apostle Paul writes, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And then in chapter 15, Paul writes very specifically and personally to the church at Rome that he had not yet had occasion to visit. He writes to them and says, "Now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there." Paul had been in Macedonia and Achaia. He had longed to go to Rome. He had never had an opportunity to visit there. But he finally comes to the place where he realizes that the work, the mission that God had for him in that area was finished. He said, "I'm going back to Jerusalem, and then I'm going to come through Rome. I'm going to stop and visit you so that you can assist me on my way to..." Now, the word "assist" there in missionary lingo is so that you can give me an offering. So that if I have enough from the church at Jerusalem to get me to Rome, that I can pause for a while and you can pass the plate, pass the hat, and you can assist me on my way to Spain. You see, God had called Paul to go to Spain. And the reality, as he lays it out here, is that the people in Spain had never heard, and how in the world could they believe if they had never heard, and how could they hear unless somebody preached to them? And how could he get there to preach unless he was sent? So the Holy Spirit was going to send him, and he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And I want to propose to you today that it's not only the feet of those that preach the good news that are beautiful, but it's the feet of those that send those that are preaching the good news as well that are blessed. Today is a very strategic day in the life of Pathway Church. In fact, it's so strategic that your pastor and church leadership have provided for you an opportunity to get connected with the Great Commission. This is a card called a Faith Promise card. It's for missions. The Assemblies of God historically has partnered with missionaries through what we call Faith Promise Giving. It's Faith Promise because it takes faith to be willing to give some of our material resources for something eternal, something that we can see for something that we can't see, believing that if we trust God with our resources to send people to proclaim the gospel, that he's going to meet their need and he's going to meet our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, one of the greatest missionary letters that was ever written was written by the Apostle Paul. In fact, he wrote a bunch of them. But the one in particular to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, he says something pretty unusual. In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen or heard of a missionary that had this reaction when they were given an offering. Paul was given this offering, and at the time he was imprisoned and his needs were being met. And so he said, you know, I thank you for the gift, for the offering, but I want you to know that I didn't really need to receive it as much as you needed to give it. And he said, I'm going to pray that God will credit your account in heaven the offering that you've given to assist me. And then a few verses later, that oft-quoted scripture, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ. See, the reality is when we participate in God's world, God participates in our world. When we invest in God's business, God invests in our business. And all across this state, in churches just like Pathway, you'll find people who learn that through faith promise giving, God could use them to touch the world. I meet them every church that I'm at. People who come to me and say, Pastor Jim, you wouldn't believe it. Just like you were talking about today, I began to give faith promise and I wasn't sure how it was going to happen, but God gave me a raise or God gave me an unexpected bonus. A pastor told me of a smaller church up in Northwest Ohio. This happened about a month and a half ago. And he had a missionary in on a Wednesday night and he said, I was so embarrassed because we had just a small group of people there that night for the Bible study. And the missionary came and I almost didn't give an opportunity for people to give in the offering because I thought, well, we'll just give them an honorarium, thank them for coming and write a check for a couple of $100 out of our general fund and bless them. And he said, but something just prompted me that I should give the people a chance to give. And he said, after we took that offering, he said, I was astounded. I went back and the treasurer came to me and said, Pastor, you won't believe it. The offering tonight was over $1,500. From a group of under 10 adults. He said, are you sure you counted it right? Sure enough. What had happened? God had spoken to the heart of one of those people in that room and told them a specific number in the hundreds of dollars to give. They didn't know where it was coming from. But a week later, their tax return came back and they had made a mistake. And the mistake was to their favor in the exact amount of the hundreds of dollars. That's what I call a faith promise. We pastored in Columbus over in the north part of the city for years, and I saw this happen over and over and over again. I won't use his real name, but he came to me one year and he said, Pastor, we want to give our first faith promise commitment this year. When missions convention time comes, we're going to fill out one of those cards, and we want to give. Never done it before. We're going to make a commitment. So he came to me that week and he said, I'm not sure what to do. And I said, you know what? First time out. And it's a great step of faith. And he said, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking $30 or $40 or $50 a month. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pray with you and believe. Why don't you go for it? I said, but you be sure you pray. Sure enough, that Sunday came. They wrote $50 on that card. About 3 weeks later, he called and said, Pastor, I got some good news and I got some bad news. I said, tell me the bad news first. He said, the bad news is I just found out this morning my job has been eliminated. I said, what's the good news? He said, the good news is they've given me one at a level just a little bit higher. I'm getting a pay increase of $50 a month. He said, Pastor, I wish I'd have written $100 on that card. I think of a young man named Kurt, you guys know. Kurt was a young college student. Had a heart for China. Every time you talk to Kurt, he wanted to go to China. He, in fact, went for a year or two and taught English as a second language in China so he could witness the Christ there. And I remember one missions convention, he filled out one of those cards, Pastor, and collected it, and we were looking at him with our leadership team, and it was $400 a month. This was a guy that drove a truck that he had to pray every time he got in it to go anywhere. who hardly ever had money enough to put gas in the tank. I said, you know what? Maybe we've got to be careful here. Maybe we shouldn't count on that until we just see a few weeks, months. Sure enough, every month. One day I was at the office and I heard a knock on the door and it was Kurt. He said, Pastor, he said, I've got a great idea. I said, what? He said, Pastor, do you believe in recycling? I said, of course. He said, there is tons of stuff in this building that I could recycle to help me with my mission. Kurt set up a couple sawhorses and a piece of plywood, and he started to go through our building and find stuff that could be recycled. He came across these bundles of copper wire and started stripping off the plastic because Kurt wanted to be faithful to do it. Paul says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on the one of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear unless somebody preaches? And how can they preach unless they are saved? So you and I get connected to the Great Commission, first of all, through praying. But secondly, and for our focus this morning, through giving. And I want to talk to you real practically, and maybe for some of you this could be a little painful today because you're not used to being generous or liberal with your money. But I want to just give you three practical points about filling out a faith promise card. The first thing is you've got to put your name right there on the top line. Put your name on the top line. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is talking about giving and generosity. He says, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now that sounds kind of personal to me, Pastor. Each one should decide. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Whoever sows. You get to put your name on the top line. Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 6, he says, lay it not up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I should say treasure on earth, where moth and rust could corrupt and thieves could break through and steal, but lay up your treasure in heaven. Listen to how personal that is. It's your treasure. It's my treasure. It's your money. It's my money. It's your investment. It's my investment. What can I do with the resources that I have to make a difference for all of why we start by putting our name on the top line. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, before Paul teaches them about giving generously, he actually encourages them. He said, everyone should desire to excel in the grace of giving. I simply want to ask you today to say, Lord, help me to excel in giving. Help me to excel in investing in mission. Help me to personally do more than I've ever done. You say, Pastor Jim, I've never done this before. I've never made a commitment to be a partner with missions. I want to ask you today to start by at least making a commitment to give $1 a day. $1 a day. Less than a cup of coffee. You go to McDonald's with tax, you pay more than $1. At least $1 a day. If you're already giving beyond that level, what could you do more to be more personally involved with what God's doing around the world? Put your name on the top line. The second thing is important when we make a faith promise is that we factor in the timeline. We factor in the timeline. And there's actually two timelines to be concerned about. One is what I would call the earthly timeline. that is the reality, that there are people in this world who are dying today, never having heard the name of Jesus, because their time on this earth is done. In fact, Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If you've read much about missions, you'll know that there's an area of the world in southern Asia that's called the 1040 window. And it's in that window where over 6,000 of the world's 7,700 unreached people groups live. And it's in that window that we're told 46 people a minute pass into eternity. That 6,600 people a day pass into eternity. The vast majority of them have never heard the good news of Jesus. There's a timeline. I think we need to get there. We need to be sending missionaries there to announce the good news, and thankfully God is sending them there. And the second timeline is an eternal timeline. The scripture says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. We don't know when that day is going to be, that every nation has had a witness at some point in its history for the gospel. God knows, God's keeping that record. But we know that when that timeline is over, that the trumpet will sound and Christ will come from the heavens and his church will be lifted up and this world will be ushered into a tribulation greater than it's ever known. You've got to factor in the timeline. There's an earthly timeline people need to hear before they perish from this earth. There's an eternal timeline people need to hear before the rapture of the church. The final thing I ask consider as we think about our faith promises today is that we do need to make faith the bottom line. This decision this morning about how you're going to invest in missions is not made by looking at your bank book and saying, okay, what could I do that's already there? How much of my discretionary income could I invest in missions? But the question is, what is God asking me to do? What might the Spirit tell me to do? We sang so powerfully and meaningfully, and I'm sure very personally this morning, Holy Spirit, come. Well, I believe if the Holy Spirit's here today and we're connecting to his vision and his heart for the world, then it's possible that in these next moments, if you've not already done so, the Holy Spirit is giving you an idea as to what you ought to write on your faith promise card. And I want to encourage you to do what that little lady did up in Delta, Ohio, and to do what that young man did that I told you about at Capital City Church. And when the Holy Spirit whispers to you, when he says something to you in the still of his small voice, and you sense a desire and a resonance with that in your spirit, I would encourage you to write that down. And then trust God that he's going to give that to you so that he can give it through you. That's what he wants to do. We're talking today about letting the Holy Spirit guide us so that we are open to resources that God could give to us. That's one dimension here. Make faith the bottom line. The second dimension is that faith says to me that what I read in the Bible is true. And that this gospel that we preach is true from beginning to end, and that God's eternal plan and his eschatological culmination of everything is bringing all nations, all tribes, all peoples into heaven with him. And if that is true, then I've got to believe that when I invest in this plan of God, that I'm going to experience God's favor in my life, God's blessing in my life, and I'm going to be doing what's near and dear to the heart of God. I love the way Peterson conveys faith in the Message paraphrase. He writes, "Hope is the music of the future, and faith is being willing to dance." If hope is the music of the future, if we believe in Jesus' words and the reality of his second coming, then our faith says, I'm dancing to that music. Our faith says, I'm going to believe in what I don't see. I'm going to live for heaven and not just for earth. Faith says, I can trust God. And if I invest my resources, God. I finished this morning with a story about one of our missionaries. A number of years ago, Katrina was finishing her master's program in business. She was at a student leadership conference, and while she was there, she heard a presentation from a couple that was gathering a team to go to Central Asia to do ministry in a Muslim country. She said that as I sat there that day, I heard the voice of God say, "Go with them." She said, "I wrestled for just a few moments, and then I knew that was God, and after the service, I went up to them and said, 'I'm going with you.'" She got back to her room, she called her parents, and she spoke to her mother. She said, "Mom, I just need to tell you that I need to take a break in my studies because I think I'm supposed to go to Central Asia to be a missionary for a year." Her mom didn't say anything for a few seconds, and then her mom simply said, "Well, don't tell your dad." Kind of a challenging request. Katrina finished that school year. She went home, and she spent a year. She knew she would have about a year to raise her funding and support to go, and she just prayed that God would give her the opportunity to share with her dad what was in her heart. She said, "Finally, after 4 or 5 months, I knew I couldn't wait any longer, and I walked in, I sat down, and I talked to him in our family room, and I said, 'Daddy, I just need to tell you that I'm going to be a missionary for you.'" And her dad's response shocked her, it saddened her. Her dad said to her in anger, "What have I done? What have we done wrong? We've raised our kids, and all they want to do is leave home and go away." She said, "Daddy, it's not what you did wrong, it's what you did right. Because I have the confidence to believe that God's going to take me and watch over me." She finished out her year, and the time came for her to schedule a ride to the airport. She called a friend to come and pick her up because she knew that if she left it up to her mom and dad, she might not make the flight. She said that as she packed her, put her suitcase into her friend's car, she looked back to the driveway. Her mom and dad were there, standing, waiting for a final goodbye. And when she went back to talk to her father and say, "Daddy, I love you. I'm going to miss you. Goodbye." After they embraced, he stepped back and he said, "Katrina, if you don't go, I'll pay off your student loan. If you don't go, I'll wipe off $30,000. She said, I didn't hesitate. I just looked at him and said, "Daddy, I can't." I asked her a while back, I said, "Whatever happened to your school bill? You did that, and now you're a missionary." She's a fully appointed missionary working with Chi Alpha University Ministry. I said, "Did your dad ever pay it off?" That every time I write that check every month for that bill, I remember that I'm called of God and that when you obey God, you have no regrets." And today I want to ask you to write your name on a card and put a number on that card so that at some point in the future you don't have any regrets. You're being obedient to the Spirit, you're being obedient to the call, you're being obedient to the Great being obedient to send those, support those that God has called. Thank you for receiving our ministry today, Pastor Tom, and lead us in the final part.